Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Hey, welcome back to the show. If it's your first time, welcome to Behind the Scenes podcast. Today, we will be interviewing some of our really good friends, Seth and Tori Bolt, who some of you may have heard of before. We met the Bolts a few years ago and really from the start have had a really special relationship and friendship with them. We love these guys. They're amazing. They're dreamers. They're doers. And they are pros at intentionality. So they've got a lot to share with us today, and they are definitely living a love letter life. So without further ado, here is our conversation with Seth and Tori Bolt. All right, Seth and Tori, so good to have you guys on.
Yes. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Totally. I feel like it's kind of been a long time coming. We've been wanting to have you guys on for a while, and now it's just a really good time because you guys have an awesome love story, so we're excited to get into it.
I'm glad you guys could be together for 72 hours to jump on with us.
Yeah.
I know you guys are in a crazy season right now, but.
Yeah, we are.
All right. Well, before we get into it, why don't you guys just tell us who you are, where you live, and what you do so the listeners can know?
Yeah, we're Seth and Tori Bolt. We live in Charleston, South Carolina. We build and design treehouses, and we run a luxury treehouse Airbnb here in Charleston.
And I also play music with the band Need to Breathe. So that's part of why I'm home for 72 hours is because we are in the middle of a tour. And so it's just been an awesome 3 days of getting to be home, getting to be back with my beautiful bride, and getting also to just see all the progress that's happening with the tree houses and catch up, be back in South Carolina where it's not freezing cold.
Yeah.
And, love it.
It's a beautiful
And you guys
spot,
are living in a tree house right now.
Yeah, we're talking to you from the Charleston Treehouse right now.
And it's one of the ones that's not completely finished yet, right?
Right. We always like to stay in them ourselves and pinpoint those little design touches and finishing marks that it will get. And the best way to do it is from like being in the space, you know? So we're having fun with that.
So cool,
it
you
sounds
guys.
Sounds amazing.
Listen to you
I
guys.
I know Jeremy is like peeing his pants over here listening to you guys say this.
Yeah. Well, I just have a smile. I just have a smile on my face because I'm like, man, that's awesome.
Someday we'll build a Bolt roll off treehouse 2.0.
Yes.
Somewhere cool.
Venture to less epic.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, guys. Well, we are, as you guys know, super passionate about relationships and love stories and marriage and all that. So, we wanted to talk a little bit about that specifically today on this episode. But before we really dive in, we wanted to give you guys a chance to tell us and our listeners how you guys met and just a SparksNotes version of your love story. And I want to give each of you guys a chance to do that because sometimes there can be some discrepancy. Yeah. So maybe Tori, you go first and then Seth, you can follow.
Yeah. So Seth and I met in Houston. I was living out there for a short time working in broadcast news. And I actually interviewed Need to Breathe before a show. But the funny thing is, my main motivation for setting up that interview was to impress my boyfriend at the time because he was a huge fan. So it was a great interview.
It was an awesome interview.
Very professional. Actually, nothing romantically happened then. Our paths just crossed. And then it wasn't until several months later that they crossed again. And now we're both single. Totally different circumstances. Seth slipped into my DMs on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you know,
the
it was
good old DMs.
Yeah. he was so good at pursuing me. Like, it was a very, very short time between that Instagram message to FaceTime. And then not long after that, that I found myself catching a flight to South Carolina, like right after my shift at the news station, like super spontaneous.
Two of the things that impressed me about Tori, first was just her joy was really different and overwhelming and refreshing. And I saw that from whenever I first met her during the interview. And then from there, like she said, after we quickly moved to trying to, I was big on like not hiding behind technology. I think that it's such a text only sort of way of starting a relationship is just very limiting because you only get in a sliver of the person and it can be very calculated. And I just like, I'm a face to face guy. So I had some friends visiting from Australia for 3 days in Charleston. So I had 3 days off and the entire first day I talked about Tori to them. And then they said, well, why don't you just invite her to hang out with us? You know, we just have a big group thing. And I was like, man, that's a great idea. I mean, honestly, it's so new. We just met. We just started talking. And we were actually, we were about to watch a movie. And I was like, that's a great idea though. Like, give me 5 minutes. And so I stepped into the other room. I called her and I was like, yo, this is a crazy idea, but if you can find some way to get off work
tomorrow,
oh my god,
for the next few days, like I'll figure out how to get you here. And so she actually made that happen. And she was like, she's like, let me see what I can do. And so I'm like, awesome. And
that
went back,
awesome,
watched the movie, went to sleep, and then literally woke up and drove to the airport and picked her up because in than 12 hours, she had booked a flight, figured out how to get a good excuse for getting out of work,
sure,
and packed a bag. And I was like, man, this girl goes at my speed. And this is, this might be the beautiful,
that is your speed.
You know, beautiful relationship.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. So good. Okay. Well, catch us up to now. So that happens. Then what?
Well, then I had 48 hours basically to make her fall in love with me and Charleston. And, the Charleston part was easy because of how charming it is. And I'll let her speak into the other.
No, we both had a really good vision of what we were looking for, you know, from past dating experiences and seeking the Lord. So I think when we met, we're just like, that's it. Like, it doesn't take that long to find, you know, for it to click when you have a really clear idea of what you're looking for. And when you just open up, like we, you know, that first day I was there, just talked like for hours, not holding anything back. And so our relationship kind of moved at that pace, just being really open and close early on. So it was a really short time. I know compared to like the average between, you know, that first date and then getting married, it was within a year.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow. I love that.
We talked about spiritual,
a little shorter than us.
Right away too, which I think is pretty, it's probably rare for most couples. I feel like there's a lot of people who are spiritual people, but they just kind of wait to have that conversation because maybe they don't want to weird somebody out if their beliefs are a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But, that was something that we connected in, and we knew that connection was really deep. So in so many ways, we knew that that was going to solve a lot of problems.
I would totally agree with that. I think there's some very important deep questions that must be had before you engage too far into a relationship. And those questions can be really telling. And I think they'll either speed up a process or prolong a process, whether that be a breakup or whatever, simply by a couple key questions.
Yeah.
And spiritual ones being one of them. Like, our beliefs are real and true, and aligning on them is important.
And I love just how fearless you guys were in the pursuit of discovering each other. Like, cause you just hadn't been talking for that long, and then you fly out and you meet each other really for the first time, you know, besides the interview, Tori, but just for you guys to dive in head first at that, you know, having not really had much history together is just, it's cool.
Awesome.
I love that.
So going off of that, what would be like the one thing you guys feel like you did to prepare for marriage, and something you're really grateful that you did do before marriage, and maybe like encourage people listening about what that one thing would be? Like, what's the one way you would prepare for marriage, or the one thing you did that you're really grateful for?
Yeah. I prayed for my future husband for years before meeting Seth. You know, my walk with the Lord had its ups and downs. But I remember it was like soon after I had graduated college, I was like, okay, like, I want to be the kind of person that the kind of guy I want to attract would want to be with, you know? So that was kind of like the mindset shift. And so I need to start praying for that. So I had a prayer journal writing to this, you know, nameless future husband, just praying for our relationship and like getting specific too with my asks to the Lord. So that was big. I think I had that for like a couple years before we met, and I didn't tell Seth about it. And I actually got to surprise him with it at our wedding. Last page in the journal, I wrote our vows. So
I love
That is so good. This, you guys, I that's so good. Smiles
Seth,
across
were you
our
just
faces.
Bawling?
And I wish I did something that cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, but that has been an amazing tool for us, because when we are apart, I'll take that journal with me, and you know, I started sending her, you know, a photo of each page starting from the beginning, so that each day we're apart, you know, I mean, she wrote hundreds of pages of prayers and everything, and that was just one little way that we could stay connected when we do have to travel and be apart from one another.
That's really amazing.
I love that. That's really great.
Audrey prayed for me in a similar fashion. Again, this is just, I think, another reason we love you guys so much and get along so well is, Audrey has a similar, you prayed for me for a long time.
Just like the desire to be intentional about, like, I feel like this is why we connect with you guys so much, is just like your desire to be intentional about the now and the next step. Like, how are you preparing for the next thing and being intentional about it in creative ways? Because like, not, you know, this might sound this might sound super crazy to some people, but like, what a blessing to be able to give your husband a journal full of prayers. Mine were kind of scattered throughout all of my journals over the years, but
yeah, well, what a love
story.
Beautiful, Tori.
I love it.
I love that. Speaking of which, let's just dive right into like, what are some intentional, like, would you guys want to share with us some intentional and creative ways that you do love each other? I mean, that was a good one about the pictures when you guys are apart, but I don't know, just do you guys share with us some creative ways you guys love one another, some ways you're intentional about spending quality time together, and just some kind of practical, fun, creative ideas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you guys, you know, we do have a lot going on, so it can be really easy to get wrapped up in it all and kind of lose sight of that quality time or that intentional time. Sure. So one thing that we've been really intentional with is taking a full day off a week, you know, for Sabbath time. And, you know, a lot of times that's on Sundays, but every now and then it has to be, you know, another day, you know, if we're working on something or if we're apart, you know, but we still spend that time together. Because that basically, by kind of asserting authority over our phones and technology and turning our phones on airplane mode, we can guarantee ourselves that we're not going to be distracted, and then we're not going to get pulled back into work or pulled into reactive mode, reacting to something or someone. And that's really the big mechanism that actually gives us time to be face to face and be intentional. And then when we're together, you know, we've started journaling our ways in which we rest and rest well. And we're kind of like almost like sort of a recipe, you know, so like we kind of write out our schedule, you know, if that involves like, you know, sleeping in and on that day, and then connecting or making breakfast together or reading together or journaling together or playing a board game together. Or like, we just started writing those ideas down, sort of like trying to make it a goal of having the most awesome day off together.
A recipe. I love that.
Yeah. Recipes for rest is kind of like the concept.
So good.
Because part of the mission and the reason why we have a retreat that's like out in nature is that we realize it can be hard for everybody to rest and really turn everything off, in order to have that intentional quality time. So that's part of the motivation for doing it. It's been very rewarding, because now we want to be able to give other people recipes for rest and say, hey, you know, see if any of these are kind of your style, or if a day like this would be something that you'd be interested in. And then they can opt to follow that. And just that way they've got sort of a track for their mind to follow if they're kind of focused like that, you know, like very to-do-list oriented, or just wanting to have an itinerary or something.
For sure.
So that's been really rewarding to create, and then also to experience and hear from others as they experience it and enjoy it.
I love that so much. And that's been,
I love that.
That's such something that we're learning in the past year and a half.
Well, the past 2 years we've been practicing a Sabbath, but I love the idea of the recipe for rest. Like, babe, I feel like on our Sabbaths, you know,
we just started having those
conversations. We turn off our phones. We have the list of things we do, but I love the idea of actually having a list of to-dos that are rest related.
Mm-hmm. That don't seem burdensome, that seem amazing and peaceful and joy.
And Sabbath is so important because it breaks up the consistency, I guess, with intentionality. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, that day of intentionality becomes consistent.
Yeah.
So if you have a consistent day, one day a week, a Sabbath day, to just focus on each other, get off the internet, unplug, that's just so, like, we've seen huge, huge, huge results, and that's so encouraging to hear. That's one of your guys' like top things.
Yeah, because it's hard to do. I mean, you guys know, with especially being apart, busy schedules, and not having a lot of consistency in your life in other ways, or at least this is how we feel. I'm sure you guys can relate on some level. Just a lot of what we do is inconsistent. So trying to make that rhythm of rest a consistency has been so, so huge. But just going off of that too, some other things that you guys have really inspired us with is, you know, your prayer closet that you guys have, and your month. I remember you guys did this monthly themes thing. I don't know if it was last year, maybe it was the year before. Where you guys?
When did you guys do that?
Do you guys remember? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure you
do. That was last year that we started doing that.
Okay, so last year, I want you to talk about that. I want you to talk about your prayer closet, and then Seth, you already touched on this a little bit, but your boundaries around phone use, and specifically, like
what
I know
are
you guys
they?
Have,
exactly.
You guys have taken cool vacations and logged off social media and not been on your phone. So talk about that. Those three things, because those are three big ones that I think have really inspired Jer and I and just our own love story and relationship.
Yeah, thank you guys. The prayer closet is like probably my favorite small like room or nook in our house. We have you know, two walls, and just like it's a small cozy space with these poofs that we can sit on, and we write on our prayers in the morning. And we have one wall where we have all of our prayer requests, right? So we'll write something new, or we'll look at all the names and specific things we've been lifting up. And when we see God answer that prayer, we take it off the wall and tape it onto the other wall, which is our wall of answered prayers. And it's just so cool to see how much the answered wall outweighs the you know, current prayers and requests. Mm. It's just like a reminder of all the things that God has done. Yes. So it's totally grown and challenged our prayer life.
And I wish that's I could amazing. Take credit for it, but this is something that Tori was doing before we met. And something that that when I discovered, you know, that was just part of her discipline, I was absolutely blown away. Like, I don't think there's nothing else from like the dating process that would have impressed me as much probably as this.
Yeah.
And it so did. Cool. And I just loved it so much. I was like, I would love to continue this and have this be something that we do together. And then what I discovered through doing that is just how connected we are and how connected we stay, because I can see how people can be even disconnected in their faith. You know, if you both kind of have like, your own experience with it, and it's not something that's social where you're sort of like sharing what's on your mind, what's on your heart, and then sort of uniting your spirits and actually praying together, then you kind of are missing out on the opportunity to actually know the core of what's on your partner's heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's an incredible connection possibility that's there that I highly recommend for anyone who might be listening who doesn't do that currently.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it increases your faith together, because, like, you know, we can pray, Jer and I can lay in bed and we can both pray, you know, in our heads laying down, but then we aren't encouraged by each other's prayers and how God answers them unless we're praying them out loud. And unless I know what Jer's praying out loud, then I can't, it's a missed opportunity for God to increase my faith in him, because I miss seeing him work in Jeremy's life, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that you guys do that so much. It's so cool, Tori. It's amazing.
Yeah. And then the month thing.
Yeah. Tell us about
run through that real quick for us.
And maybe some of them
we have yet to do that, but that's something that's kind of been on our intentional list, you know, like how ways to be more intentional with one another. That's kind of top of the list. We just haven't tried it yet.
Yeah. So it really started with, you know, every December we focus and dream about the upcoming year, and it's really more of goal setting instead of resolutions, you know? And so we both decided that we wanted to grow in discipline and just really honing in our schedules and efficiency. So we took, instead of like trying to bite off like 10 things to do or 10 habits to either start doing or stop doing all at once, we're like, let's devote one thing to each month and just focus in on this, kind of strengthen that muscle. And then move on, and you know, then we can bring it back or see if we're happier without it. So like 1 month, you know, we just logged off of social media. Another month it was, you know, cutting out caffeine, like just different things that we would also just try to prove that we, that those things don't have power over us.
Love that. Yeah. So you guys did a full year of that, babe. That kind of reminds me of what our premarital counselors do. Our premarital counselors, they have 12 family pillars. And this is something we just created this year, our 12 family pillars. But
we did it kind of differently.
But what they've did was they gave each pillar a month. So like 1 month is abundance, for example. And it's just always being reminded of like the Lord's provision and all that we have and gratefulness. And they
1 month is like fun and laughter. 1 month is stewarding generosity or stewardship and generosity. And it's like these themes that they can get their kids rallied around too.
Yes.
But they don't change. So up with a unique one for each month of the year, but they have done the same ones, right?
The same ones for like 12 years. Yeah. And I kind of like it too, because it's Chris Herb, our premarital counselor. He was kind of saying like, it's overwhelming when you want to teach your kids 12 different disciplines.
Yeah.
But if 1 month you're focusing on generosity, it's like whenever you see a moment or a time to teach that, like that's what you're teaching that month. And it makes it much more powerful and attainable and stronger. And then the next month, you know, you're still teaching them generosity, but your focus might be discipline. You know what I mean? So...
And they can point to the board and show
parallel.
Their kids.
But well, that's maybe why it's, yeah, guys, we love that. We can't wait to try it.
Are you guys doing it this year too?
Yeah.
A little bit modified. We're not like, you know, focusing on adding or getting rid of something each month, but we do have focuses of like, okay, with our business and just everything, like, okay, this is our month on like management. So we'll be like reading a book, you know, on that topic, like just directing a lot of our conversations to that, just trying to be focused.
Yeah, I think we've kind of like switched over to sort of a going back to school model, trying to learn as much as possible can. And so each book that we've been reading has been specifically about something that we can immediately apply to our business, so that the learning goes so much deeper. It's not just something you're putting into your short-term memory. You're actually exercising the muscle and actually, you know, making sure you have full clarity on it. Because when you try to immediately implement it, you know, sometimes you're thinking like, well, how exactly do it? Because I'm feeling kind of stuck. And then you go back and you look and you're like, ah, that's the thing that unlocks it. Here we go.
And
you're off to the races.
I love that. I almost want to kind of dive into, we're going to have you guys back on and talk about business. Do like a working with your spouse, you know, tips and tricks, what we've learned, what we failed at. That'll be really fun. But kind of speaking of which, I do want to ask you guys about the treehouse. How did it start? What does it look like now, Tori? You're kind of spearheading it up, and Seth's gone a lot. What's kind of, because that's such an interesting, unique, amazing thing. And share with us a little bit how it started and just kind of what that looks like right now with the travel and all that.
Yeah, it started with a dream. I mean, partly I didn't have like an awesome swamp fort like you growing up.
Yeah.
But I always wanted something like that. And it just worked out to be something later in life. But my dad's a builder, so I grew up around construction. And he and I built the house that my parents live in together now. So this was our first time. Like, I did that at age 12. And then we built the treehouse in 2015. Started on Father's Day, so like just getting to swing a hammer next to my dad mm-hmm. again was like a really special thing for me. And I knew that I wanted to build a place that was out in nature because my spirit always just gets a lift and a boost from yeah. being in nature. I've spent tons of time in cities my whole adult life. Mm-hmm. And I just really, I'm inspired by nature. I'm inspired by creation. I love just
that.
The beauty of watching it all in motion and the harmony that's there. So I wanted a place where I could just get away and have sort of a time away from all the noise and all the busyness of life. So that's what the treehouse started out as being. And then through the process, I decided that it would be pretty cool if I made it like good enough, excellent enough to be worthy of
to
my
invite
honeymoon.
People.
Oh, yes,
a honeymoon.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's we hadn't met yet. So Seth built the treehouse with his dad before I came onto the scene.
Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, I was like, I think I'll get some brownie points for this for sure. Like,
yeah,
we're thinking.
And I did. And I'm glad that it went that way. And even on our honeymoon, then Tori and I were, you know, talking about what we wanted our future to be like. And we kind of wrote out some goals for, you know, what we wanted life to look like for us, what we wanted life to look like for, you know, a family one day. And one thing we both agreed on is that we wanted our children to be raised in an environment where they had an opportunity to serve others. Mm. So before they learn any entitlement or before they learn, you know, that they could, you know, have cool toys or just like have stuff.
That's good.
We wanted to be
yes.
able to serve people. We also wanted to be able to like teach the lessons that are uniquely found in nature. Mm. Kids are naturally curious. And I loved running around in the woods as a kid with a stick and, you know,
and I did not have that. And,
dude, for sure. I'm down with you.
Creeks and stuff. So that was part of it. And really it was during our honeymoon that we could see how like you could kind of take a needle and thread and go through all of the different goals we had and they would be fulfilled by pursuing this building this treehouse you know nature retreat.
Yeah, and Tori was totally on board or did it Tori what was it like hearing the idea?
I was super on board and I've always had that entrepreneurial like heart and mindset, even though like I had never done that just with my career in journalism. But honestly, after it wasn't long after our honeymoon and all that dreaming that I was like, all right, I think I'll be leaving the news station fairly soon. And I was so excited to start our own thing. And it started with the land hunt, just looking for the perfect property and like praying through that and working through it. And as we were doing that, we were also just thinking about like, how much we would build because it's like, well, if we go through all the time and trouble of building one, and then you can't really host guests and like do that again and like have all this construction. We're like, okay, we really like zoomed in and tried to think long term, and four was the number that we came up with. We're like, let's build a nature retreat with four tree houses. And
love it, dude.
Man, we're right at the end of it right now.
Yeah, you're living in the last one right now.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't super dive into this, and I don't know how much you're comfortable sharing, but like God totally had his hand on every single step of that process of you getting that land and like the story of how you got it and all of that. Like can you Sparks Notes that real quick for us? Because it's just so amazing.
Yeah, I'll do my best to give you a summary because it's kind of a crazy story with miracles and heroes and villains and all that. But you know, we were looking for this property and we knew we wanted it to have, you know, gorgeous oak trees, hopefully be on water, you know, not too far from the airport or the nearest city. So what we were looking for, we felt like it didn't exist. It was really hard to find. And we finally found a property that had all of those things and more. And we were like, oh, this feels like it's it. But it was so far out of our budget. And so we, you know, even though we're dreamers, we're realistic. And so we thought we would be purchasing a portion of the property. Long story short, a bidding war kind of evolved and a lot of people were interested in this 30-acre property. And meanwhile, the seller decided, you know, dividing it up is going to be really complicated. I just want to sell it to one person or in one piece. And so we thought that that was it. And God used strangers, these people that we met one time. But we connected really deep on spiritual things, and specifically on Mark Batterson's book, The Circle Maker.
Yes. We're having him on the podcast in like a couple of weeks. Actually, yeah. He may have been already by the time this one airs. But yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, we totally connected over that and found out that these people, these strangers, totally share our vision for what we wanted to do here. But they just have their other businesses and they weren't able to make it happen. And they saw this opportunity to make it happen through us. And so they gifted us a large amount of money to buy the whole property.
It's
just crazy.
It's, and then one really, really, really cool thing that happened, the moment where we actually put our name down and signed the contract for the property is this was the second time we had ever actually met with these people. And we were presented with this high pressure situation where the real estate agent was like, you know, listen, if you want this property, you got to sign this contract. And that was a surprise to all of us. And we weren't that sold on it, but then God answered a prayer in that very exact moment, because 3 weeks earlier we were riding around looking at property after property and they were all like, you know, good, but not great. And it was confusing. And we were like, you know, out of desperation or whatever it was, I prayed. I was like, God, please send us some kind of sign. Like this is more money than we've ever spent in our lives. And we've basically been saving up our money this our entire adult lives to make this investment. We can't mess this up. And, you know, so if you can send us some kind of sign, please do. And then I kid you not, like kind of lightheartedly, jokingly, I said, if it could be an eagle or something like that, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Didn't think a thing about it until that moment where the contract is laying on a table in front of us and we're being, you know, there's an extended hand with a pen and at that moment an eagle flew and landed on the corner oak tree on our property and just perched there for the entire time that we filled out the contract.
That's amazing.
And so immediately it was a very emotional thing for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I let the other people know that we had to sign it. I'm like, this is our sign. This is what we asked for.
That's and amazing.
They did the same thing. And we actually at that point did not even know how we were going to get the money for it. But I just knew that it would be impossible not to respond in faith.
Yeah. Amen.
And it really felt like confirmation that where we're supposed to be. Mm. And then I believe as a response to that faith, that's how and why the miracle came, where we were actually given the money. We didn't know that was coming at the time. We had to be obedient.
Whoa, that you guys, that is such a story.
Chills in my body. And I've already heard this story, but I'm like, so amazing. It's just,
I can't wait to visit.
That sticker in the closet moved from the left wall to the right wall pretty fast.
Yeah. Definitely.
I love that. Oh, that's so good. Okay. Well, we could talk about this forever. But
we could. Yeah. That. Like I said, we'll have you guys on again and go total treehouse nerd out.
But now that you are, now that you guys are working together, like you've got the treehouses, you got four of them built. You guys have interesting jobs. So tell us a little bit about like what that looks like. Cause Tori, you came from, you know, working your separate job. And we actually kind of had similar stories of not seeing our husbands in the beginning of our marriage, because I also work crazy hours like you. But talk about that shift of like now working together and the joys that come with that of being able to like just be on mission and work together in your actual jobs, and then also maybe some challenges that you guys have faced
coming together. Yeah
it is, you're right, it's so fun working with your spouse, and you get to see a whole nother side of each other, you know, and with that alone, like for us, the respect level just grows, because I get to see Seth growing and strengthening different areas. And also like we're both really passionate about our work, and we spend so much time and energy on it. it's hard to imagine like both of us doing that on like with different things. It's so cool that we get to share that topic, you know, like the thing that we're thinking about late at night, we get to have that in common and like brainstorm. And it's just, it's added a lot of layers to our relationship where we have our husband and wife hats, we have our, you know, business partner hats, and it's just really, really fun.
Yeah. Is there anything you guys do to like protect your marriage, you know, outside of work? I'm trying to formulate this question as
Is there anything, do you guys have like set aside times for not talking about work?
Or
do you, does that line blur and you're just kind of okay with it? And like, cause we've been wrestling with this a lot for a while. Jared and I were really like,
we were
frustrated.
Like, we gotta have our bins, our compartments. But then we were,
and then we realized like, why are we trying to do that?
Yeah.
So
we talked to a good friend and he was like, why, if you guys love it and you're passionate about it, like,
why refrain from talking about it?
Yeah. And so he kind of shifted our mindset a little bit, but I'm curious how you guys kind of, you know, in the mix of it all being so closely tied together, work and marriage, because a lot of people go home and come back, you know, and I know we're kind of talking to a minority here, but it's very interesting. I'm just curious if there's anything specific you guys do to protect your marriage outside of work.
Because that's a great question.
That can apply to everyone and anyone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't think either of us knew what to expect going into it. And I mean, I think we both knew that there was definitely, you know, warning, you know, potential dangers for mixing business, you know, because who you are at work is not necessarily who you are at home for some people. You know, mm-hmm. some people kind of really subdivide those personalities. But I think similar to what you just said, you know, like because it's such a passion of ours, you know, it is almost difficult to stop thinking about it. And I don't think it's a bad thing. We try to remove shame from that part of it because it is the unique mission that we've signed ourselves up for and feel like we're called to. And so we definitely press into it. But to answer your question specifically about boundaries, I mean, the most practical thing has been airplane mode because it literally gives you the most firm boundary for anything coming in because, I mean, how many times have you been, you sit down for dinner and then one of you's like, oh my gosh, I forgot to send this to so-and-so or you get some request where you're like, I have not gotten back to them and I've got to do it. I'm so sorry. Just, I need to send this one text.
That's us.
Yeah. That was us last night. But then, but then I was like, okay, let's just go on airplane mode. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're like, okay, let's do that.
Yeah,
that's so good.
I know that's not deeply philosophical, but it is practical.
But it's extremely practical.
Rewind 15 seconds and just listen to it again because it's so simple, but it's so important.
Well, there's so much tied into that because there actually is, that is philosophical in the sense that like there's discipline tied up in that. There's intentionality tied up in that. There's deepest desires over strongest desires. Like your strongest desire might be to respond to that, but your deepest desire is to have a healthy, thriving marriage in the midst of it all. Totally. Like there's a lot tied up into that simple discipline of being able to take our devices, our phones, or as you call it, our inflows, which I love, and just put the gate up, say no. And this is why the Sabbath is so important. Circling it back around to the first thing you guys mentioned and the thing that we've been practicing for a year now is that's just saying no. It's saying enough is enough. And I choose to make be content and make this the healthiest thing. And that is so good. It's super convicting because I feel like we do a pretty good job at that on Sundays. But like during the week, like, I don't know, a time of the night should come where you put, where you go airplane mode, you go dark.
Yeah. Love it.
What is a, here's like the next question, next thought here. What is an encouragement you guys can give our readers and listeners that would inspire them to pursue a love story that is creative, intentional, and faithful? Or in short, something we're asking people in light of our book, what does it mean to you to pursue a love letter life? And if you guys need a minute to think about this, that's okay.
it's a great question. I think the first thing that comes to mind is just don't settle. Mm. It's something that I'm super passionate about and encouraging other people as well, especially those who are single. Like, even if you're feeling that pressure or that urge, you know, to like start that next chapter, like make sure that you are holding out for God's best, because you really get one shot. And
yeah,
I think settling is something that's, I don't know, it's just, it's really sad.
Yeah.
So holding out for that. And then I think on the other side, and maybe you can speak on this more, Seth, but like pursuing, because you did such a good job at pursuing me when we were dating, mm-hmm. and you still do that now in marriage. And I think where people can sometimes go wrong is just getting complacent, you know, in yeah. your marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think probably what really got us off on the right start for our relationship was just talking about our standards, who we are, who we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that I'd had that conversation, you know, in every, you know, dating relationship that I was in up until that point, because by establishing, you know, some sort of accountability, or at least just saying like, look, this is who I am, this is what I believe, these are my standards, then you don't give yourself the leeway to violate your own standards, you know, and give in to your own selfish desires. Mm. So that was really great. And part of that pursuit too, you know, and I think part of why, I mean, obviously we both had dated other people in the past.
Yeah.
But we, and going back to that intentionality word, like we decided to be really intentional about not having sex before we were married, mm-hmm. you know, even though we had both been sexually active before that, before meeting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, during that period, like we had both also like processed that and, you know, dealt with, you know, any shame that we felt from not waiting for marriage to do that. But we feel really incredibly blessed in our marriage now, I think, because we took that step, because we committed to that discipline of just refraining and like actually saving something for marriage.
Yeah.
And then I think
that's really good.
One thing that I just feel led to sort of like encourage other people who are single is just to do the same thing and wait, because even if you want, you know, spiritual things aside, if you just want to look at science, like our brains, the human brain is in the most vulnerable state ever mm-hmm. when you are in a state of sexual arousal. Mm-hmm. So that means that you're being like the most vulnerable you can be with mm-hmm. somebody else before that is actually, before you've actually
committed.
Earned that, before you should be that vulnerable with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make the dating process incredibly confusing and way more difficult than it should be, all for just temporary selfishness. So I feel like that message,
preach it.
Like kind of vulnerable to say and not something that you really want to admit. That was just,
that's real.
Yeah.
That's entirely avoidable. And all it means is just saying no to selfishness, really.
Mm. Delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification is, it sets you up to ultimately win.
For sure. Dude, I'm on board with that.
It saves you a lot of heartache.
Yeah. Thank you guys for sharing.
Thanks for sharing that. Because that needs to be said. That's real.
Yeah. So good. Well, thank you guys so much. We could talk forever like we always do when we are together. But we like to wrap up our episodes with our guests with three kind of spitfire, rapid fire questions. So are you guys ready?
We are.
Okay. Okay. Question number one. What is your morning routine?
Morning routine.
Yeah. Okay. So we have the same morning routine. We share it when Seth is not on the road. But we wake up at 5 a.m, which is something I never thought I would do.
Heroes.
But it's been the best thing. We get up at 5 right away. We get on our knees in prayer, like still in bed. We just flip over and we
it's
have
a good
that
way
time.
Not to go back to sleep.
Yeah. You're like, I'm physically moving. We have time, you know, in our devotionals or reading the word. And then we kind of transition. We do our 5-minute journal, which is a great tool.
Yes.
You just
love it.
Yeah, you can count gratitude and then you focus on three things for the day. After that, like our mornings are really focused. So then we spend 30 minutes reading. And then after that, we pop up, play fun music, get moving. I'll make breakfast. And then at that point, we do our most important work, all this before 8:30 a.m. when people are, you know, reaching out to us and stuff. So before we get into reactive mode, we're able to do have that slow start morning and do our most focused work.
You guys, that's this amazing. Is
back to your you know, that question you ask about what are some of the things that we do intentionally to kind of help protect our marriage and, you know, help our story. Sacred time is sort of the key, I think, to, and those boundaries are key to guaranteeing that this time is going to be something that you're able to have and invest in. And it's a residual way to continue investing in one another. Yeah. And because there's not a lot of people who wake up that early in the morning, it gives us the chance to wake up. And before we switch our phones off of airplane mode, we just have intentional time together. Mm. So we have the guarantee of that time on a daily basis, not just like for a weekly Sabbath or day off, but dude, every day we know that instead of waking up and immediately reacting to something that you see on social media or something that you see on a text or whatever, and then instantly you're being pulled apart because mm-hmm. you're getting pulled into your own compartments, your own worlds. We're entirely together and like our minds are together. We're talking, we're going through all the things she just said, and that's made a really big difference.
That's amazing. Yes, I'm inspired to
wake
up earlier.
That is so good. I'm like shaking my head right now. I'm shaking my head in agreeance, but also in conviction because I don't know. I feel like Audge and I, we're very intentional people. And again, like I said in the beginning, this is probably why we love you guys so much, but that is like real special and something we have not done or mastered is the morning routine. Mm-hmm. And hearing you talk about it like that is just really cool. And it, oh man, I'm inspired to do that.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good. You guys, I love that. Love it. Okay. Question number two is you.
I want to like hang out there for a second.
We just went real deep.
Yeah.
Now we're going real surface. No, I'm kidding.
No, that's just, it's so good. Cause not very many people have that intent, that real of a routine, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they say they do.
Just the fact that you guys can lay it out and say, this is what we do when we are together in the mornings.
Yeah.
Because I feel like most people, if you ask them that question, they'd kind of stumble through it and, oh, it's different every day.
Like a 30-minute window to wake up, and if I drink coffee near the same time, and then
it's not consistent.
Yeah. Anyways, okay.
Well, yeah, so good.
And the truth is, like, I think where it comes from is that I historically have been really terrible at discipline. You know, so it's not like something that I'm good at or easy for me. Mm. I mean, if anything, like with my job being in music, I get all this liberty and license to just kind of stay up late if I want or mm-hmm. not have a set bedtime or a set wake time or any kind of routine, you know, like I don't have an office to go to, you know, when I work for the band necessarily. So, mm-hmm. All of that kind of drove me crazy. I mean, because I could just, there's something, you know, honestly, this kind of goes back to when we first met, we were sitting in that, Italian cafe, and I felt really challenged by you, Jeremy, when you were saying, you know, you were talking about a book on the power of habit, and how we really are our best selves when we develop like really good, healthy habits and routines. And ever since then, we've had a lot of different iterations of what that might look like, and what those schedules might look like, and how, you know, what's our best morning routine. And we just kind of kept working at it until we found something that we really like, that really is easy to flow in, and something that we actually look forward to and that we want to protect.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's so good. And it also takes practice. Like you know, you just admitted that, like, you know, it's intimidating because some people want the perfect routine right out of the gate, but it takes maybe a year or two or three to.
We're in the figuring it out phase still, I think, but. But really,
as far as our morning routine goes, for sure. I mean, that's tough, but love that you guys, really inspired by that. Switching gears, what's the best life hack you've ever discovered?
So I recently discovered this, and it is a game changer. There's a setting, you guys probably already know this, you can make your iPhone black and white because all the colors of all the apps are like so intriguing, and they just overstimulate your brain.
Yes.
You have to go into your settings and, I don't know, Seth worked the magic, but now if I hit the power button on the right side three times, everything turns black.
No way.
Yes. Wow. And you can like focus just on what you need to do and it's not pulling you.
That's amazing.
That's really great. On our iPhone. Previous iPhone, I think I had that as the triple tap. But then when you the new iPhone doesn't have the home button and I haven't used it since.
I'm still with you on the old phone. So I triple tap the home button.
Yeah, yeah. That's really good. I totally forgot about that. Yeah. And then there's science. There's a ton of science behind that with like the red alert buttons and all that other stuff. But
Seth, life hack?
Well, I've been experimenting a lot with music. You know, like everyone's familiar with, you know, how, you know, the way that parents will soothe their children to sleep by playing like the same music each night. Mm. So I've, you know, being like really fascinated by music and what it does to our brains, have been building different playlists, you know, that inspire different behavior so that you can almost rely on the music to tell your body and your brain how to feel, even when you don't feel like it.
That's so cool.
Very that interesting.
I'll give a practical example. I mean, like you can imagine, you know, like starting your day a certain way or with certain music. Or I actually like to read now with I've got an app that has ocean waves on it that remind me of like one of our favorite vacations where we talked about it earlier. We were dreaming about all this stuff. We were right on the ocean. And so that kind of takes me back to that inspiring place. So it ultimately sort of just like lifts my mood and my spirit and makes me focus a little more because I feel like I'm doing something important when I'm reading or journaling. But the thing we've struggled with is trying to figure out how to sort of celebrate the end of a workday when you're entrepreneurs and your workday pretty much can follow into the late PM hour.
Yeah.
So we set an alarm at 6 PM where that alarm goes off and it actually triggers music and it starts playing this triumphant playlist we created of just songs that make us feel on top of the world. And then, you know,
wait, automatically, we might like, hold on. Dude. Your alarm automatically triggers the playlist to play.
I wish. No, but it triggers the first song. Like our alarm is just like a really fun pump
got
up song.
Got it.
And then we manually start a playlist. Hopefully that's the amazing. Technology.
I'm trying to, I'm looking into every way I can to sort of make this a reality so that more people can use it because then it's yes. actually a thing. It's like, okay, we're going to have like a dance party for a minute or two or five and just like high five each other. Recount some of the wins from the day, and then we're typically going to continue to work, but it's created a boundary where we can say, you know, the rest of the day is a victory lap because look at all we've done. Look at the success we've had so far. And that's a great just tool for happiness and like positive mental psychology and making sure that you don't get beat up by the day just because of your own ambition forcing you to want to do more than you're actually capable of.
Oh, we need to hear that every day.
We do.
That's amazing. No, that's so good.
That's so good.
That's I use my alarm on my phone for everything. Like I used to use it. We talk about this in our book. I used to use my alarm on my phone to go off at 10 p.m. at night when I was hanging out with Jeremy as like a purity accountability measure.
Yeah.
Go home, Audrey. Like, so I've been using the alarm on my phone for so That's many smart. Things. And, but Seth, if you develop some type of app or something for this, I just wish there was a better way to actually label alarms and maybe have audio attached to them where it could tell you what the alarm is going off for and remind you, because sometimes I'll set my alarm for
things. Or deep links to your Spotify playlist.
Yeah,
or
if it could automatically actually trigger something to happen or songs
Someone
to play.
Listening might know of this and they'll right? be.
If so, please let us know.
Yeah, if you know of this, let us know on Instagram or something. But
okay, last question. And super excited to ask you guys this question because the whole concept for this came from a time with you. Well, I guess, Tori, you weren't there, but we do this thing on the podcast every single week. Jer and I ask each other this, but then we also ask guests when they're on the podcast. And it's, what is your rose and thorn from the week? AKA, like, what's your high and low from the week? And we got this idea. We wanted to call it Roses and Thorns because, Seth, when we were
it was
with
here
you guys.
In Portland.
Yeah.
It was here in Portland.
Need to Breathe was playing in Portland.
With Johnny Swim.
With Johnny Swim.
And post show, they had this like
It was like your community time.
It was like the community church time. And they went through and did Roses and Thorns and talked about a bunch of cool stuff. And it was just a good, it was an amazing thing to be a part of or be invited to, really. And we you know, left.
We just were doing inspired. Roses and so thorns. We're like, yeah, we'll remember that forever. Let's just call that, call it that in our podcast. So, anyways, cool. You guys really have like so much to do with the fact that we even asked this question. But what is your rose and your thorn from the week?
It's been a rosy week.
Good.
It really has. With Seth getting to come home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it's for a short time. I know we like look forward to that and like try to make the most of those days. So that has been, that's my rose. Awesome. Yeah. Coming home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's been, the tour so far has been absolutely unbelievable. Like sold out shows, and so cool. It's an acoustic tour that Need to Breathe's doing right now, and it's in the most beautiful theaters in the country. So I feel very fortunate to getting to play music with those guys. I mean, they're all so talented. I know how special it is also that I'm getting to be part of a concert that's entirely organic and human. In the sense that, like, we love music, we love going to shows, you know, concerts are really fun, but these days so much of it is being played back from an Apple laptop
or
something like that. So, I mean, you're not really hearing only the
special,
the thoughts and the expressions of the musicians. And I'm just lucky to be in a band with guys who can all sing, who can all play really well, who write amazing songs. So to get to do that, and then also to get the come home and have quality time with Tori, and to see progress on the tree houses. I've been on top of the world last few weeks.
Awesome. Those
no
are some
thorns
good
for you guys.
Yeah, let's just skip the thorn part because that's really cool.
No,
I'm kidding. Unless you guys want to share your thorns.
Yeah, I mean, if you do have a thorn, please share. But if not,
we should have started with thorns. That's what we normally do.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to start with the thorn.
I know. Sometimes we forget
sometimes
that.
We
try to remember
that. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
I don't know. It goes right into leaving for me. I mean, obviously, having to leave home, and I mean, for all the people out there who work, I mean, they know what it's like to leave. We don't have kids, and I can. I mean, so for the rest of the guys in my band, you know, having to answer kids' questions like, "Man, why are you leaving again?" You know, I don't have that sort of pressure yet, but it's still really tough. Like, because I know it's going to be a while since we get to connect, and it makes it more difficult because you know, some of the beautiful routines that we've developed over time and with practice, you kind of get pulled away from, when you don't actually have the accountability of the other person there, or now all of a sudden I'm on a different schedule than she is. And so that's my thorn, because it's the thing I'm looking forward to the least, is just not being totally in sync.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Well, you guys, it's been a pleasure talking with you as always. We love you guys.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. Thanks for inspiring
us. We love you too.
And our listeners.
We're going to have you on again soon, like I said.
Yeah.
Talk about some other stuff. So, where can people find you? What's going on? Where are you guys on the web?
Yeah. Well, on Instagram, our treehouses are at Bolt Farm Treehouse. I'm at Tori Bolt.
I'm at Dr. Seth Bolt.
Doctor.
Don't forget the doctor.
Yes.
It's a dumb thing, and he'll...
Yeah.
I'm not a real doctor.
Yeah. And if they want to, if people want to book the Airbnb, how do they find, or how do they book the treehouses? They go to Airbnb, right?
The best thing is actually just to go to our website.
Okay, website.
BoltFarmTreehouse.com. We have a couple of different options and ways that they can do that.
Boom.
Cool. You guys should definitely check it out if you're listening.
Yeah.
Especially if you live anywhere close to Charleston. Jared and I are trying to get out there. We want to try to make it out there sometime this year.
Yeah, that's
going
to
make it happen. Hold us accountable, guys.
Share a campfire with you guys.
Yeah, let's do a podcast around a campfire.
That's right.
That's the plan.
All right, guys. Love you guys.
Hey, we love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye. Talk soon.
Man, that was awesome. I love them. I feel like I just want to hang out with them more.
Yeah, we always wish Seth and Troy were closer out on the West Coast.
We're literally across the United States from each other, but
we love them. Go check them out. Go follow them. All the things that they said, all the truth bombs that they dropped, they actually do and live out. And they're just truly very inspiring people.
And if you want an awesome Airbnb stay, Bolt Farm Treehouse on Airbnb. So they're great.
We wanted to wrap out this episode with a very, 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 very important update. And that is that, one, our book comes out in 4 days.
Yikes.
4 days, April 2nd. Mark your calendar if it's not already marked. Our book releases out into the world. So if you have not pre-ordered the book, you really want to do that because you only have 4 more days to get these awesome freebies that we're giving away.
It's kind of one of those things where if you're gonna pre-order it or order it anyway, you might as well do it pre-order.
Because now it's shipping in a week anyways.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait that long. But yeah, if you want to get Jeremy's A Love Letter Life exclusive presets, the only way you're gonna be able to get these is if you pre-order the book in the next 4 days, if you haven't already.
Yep.
If you have already, we love seeing you guys using them. It's really cool to see you guys using them on your photos. Then you get a bunch of other free stuff. You can see what you get on aloveletterlife.com. All the freebies are listed out there for you. If you have already pre-ordered the book and you haven't claimed your freebies, make sure you go there and put in your email so we can send you those freebies.
Yep.
And then the second very important update is that today is our live signing. We're doing a live signing. So if you go to aloveletterlife.com and you check our tour schedule, the first stop on our tour, it says your comfy couch. And it's essentially Jeremy and I, we wanted to offer a way for people to get their book signed if we aren't coming to their city for the tour. So we are signing a ton of books in our house while doing a private live stream with you guys, if you join, and we're going to be doing a Q&A and we're going to be answering a bunch of questions, and you have the opportunity for us to call you if you put your phone number in when you pre-order your book this way. So if you haven't pre-ordered your book yet, you want to get those freebies, the best way to do that
and a signed copy
is today. We will put this link in the show notes, but you can go to loveletterlife.com, click the link next to your comfy couch, and it will take you to the site where you can pre-order the book that will get you that signed copy. And then you should get like a link to the live stream, which is going to be tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah,
believe gotta so. Double check the time on that, but it's sometime.
It'll be in the show notes.
So we'll put that in the show notes too. But again, make sure you guys do that before the end of the day if you want to get a signed copy and we're not coming to your city. Otherwise, pre-order the book in the next 4 days. And
boom.
That is all. That's all the exciting announcements.
We're really excited.
Next episode's going to drop the day that our book releases. So we're super stoked about that. And got a lot of fun, exciting things we're going to share with you next week.
All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.